Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Lisa Lisa Show. This is Lisa Lisa speaking to you live from the home front. I have to tell you, I was up well early enough, and I was ready to walk out that door. I was trying to make an order on my cell phone this morning, and for some odd reason, it wasn't working, so I had to get on the computer. And this computer is only 6 years old, although it's behaving like it's 100, and it's so slow, so I have no patience, and what would normally seem like 30 seconds to me is actually now taking 3 to 5 minutes. What would normally take 30 seconds is taking 3 to 5 minutes, and so everything I'm trying to do is just not working, and that stupid little wheel is just spinning and spinning and spinning, and I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding? So planned obsolescence, I really do need a new computer. How wonderful is that? Ugh, just so annoying, just so annoying. Anyway, so the weather, spring is finally sprung. I'm looking at the trees and there's little buds and everybody's happy and it's actually warm. And yesterday I went out and I didn't have to wear a heavy coat. I wore a little jacket. And even though I got home kind of late, I was like worried that I was going to be cold. I was not pleasantly surprised. I was comfortable and that made me very happy. So that made me happy. So we're finally experiencing spring, so make sure that you get out there and enjoy it because God knows how long it's going to last. I guess that's the only one that will know. Anyway, so there you have it, the weather, finally spring. I was talking to my mom. My mom has been in town, you know, through the holidays, and she's getting ready to leave Saturday. And we were talking about the weather, of course. What else? And it was really funny because she has the same opinion that I have. It's like everybody's memory of what it used to be. And my brother that lives in Wisconsin, their spring sprung. And so they're actually warmer than we are. And it's been that way for a while. So I think that's very funny. We used to be on the same plane, and whatever they would have or whatever Missouri would have, we would have a day later. But again, I still think that happens. Whatever Missouri gets, we get 24 to 36 hours later. But I think it's now a little more like Wisconsin, so who knows. Anyway, it's just not as bitingly cold because we have more humidity. Does that work that way? I'm not exactly sure. You know, everybody always says, oh, it's dry heat, it's dry cold, it's dry, 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 so you don't feel it the same way. I guess when it's wet, it's moist, it gets into your bones, so you feel it differently. Anyway, anywho. So, yes, gorgeous weather, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. One of my friends was telling me, go to the beach now. I'm like, oh, wait. It's a little soon for the beach. You know, I'm not there yet. Although, I could tell you, I could definitely go for, like, real holiday and go to a beach, like, tropical, somewhere really tropical. Something extremely tropical, the Caribbean or something. I'll go there. I would do that. Yeah, I could see that. I'll do that. That would be more my speed at the moment anyway. So, so there you have it. So what's been going on? Well, there's a lot of things going on. One of the things, I don't know if you've seen this in the news, a couple of things. Okay, no, number one. Hospitals have decided that they're going to use copper in the beds, in the handles of the beds, in the frame of the bed, because they say that if you wear copper, it promotes healing and health and, you know, better energy. And I thought that was really interesting because I remember when everybody went through that copper phase, oh, I have to get that copper bracelet and wear it because it's going to promote my health. It's going to heal me. It's going to take away all my pain. Like when people started wearing magnets, I thought that was really funny, that the magnets were going to draw away all the negative energy. I was like, okay, that's what's going to work. Okay, okay. So excuse me. So the copper in the bed railings, I thought that was really funny. So, just another one of those getting more spiritual and I think I told you about that time I was watching the news and everybody was talking about what color to wear. Now, I've been into the color aura thing for a very long time. And when they all started talking about it on the news that one night, I think it was like 2-3 weeks ago, oh my God, it was so funny. It had me hysterical. So I'm like, they're finally catching up. They're getting a little more intuitive about energies and, you know, atmosphere and I was like, okay. So speaking of science and technology, they have now figured out how to transplant. Are you ready for this? Are you all sitting down? Because, you know, this is sitting down type of comedy. Even though I pace, I think it's best if everybody else is sitting down. So they're going to do the next big thing. Instead of, like, you know, a heart transplant, a liver transplant, you know, putting your fingers back on, whatever, you know, limbs, yada, yada, yada. Okay, head. Yes, that's what I said, head. Head transplant. Can you imagine that they're going to take your head and give you a new donor body? I can't even wrap my head around the head thing, because it's like, okay, so now you have a healthy body, you have a healthy head, and you have a really ailing body. And now we're going to get you a donor body. So they're going to give up their head and give you their body. I don't even... Very, very, very funny. So I have to tell you, I actually read through the entire article. And what they're talking about are the variant different surgeons that they need to make this happen. So you need a specialist for neurology. So you need a special brain doctor. You need somebody that's really good with nerves and the spinal cord and all that stuff. But there's like a handful of things. So they were saying, well, we were able to do it except... So they're talking about the hub of the spinal cord, because obviously that's, you know, a severed head. Come on, this is just so funny. And then they're talking about rejection and things that are worse than death. What is worse than death if you put a head on a body and it doesn't work? I don't understand. Quadriplegic, they can't. I don't know. They can't speak the vocal. I don't know. I can't even tell you. It's just so bizarre and other than. So, in fact, I'm thinking that I may incorporate a link on my Lisa show, so that anybody that's interested in seeing the head transplant and reading about it, you're welcome to through my fan page. I just thought it was so funny. It was like, okay, so they have the technology, but I don't know if I'd run it. It's like the whole freezing, the cryo thing, okay? So we can freeze your head until we figure out how to clone your body. But, I mean, to get a donor body, it's just so bizarre. I think cloning is the better way to go here. I would rather have my head frozen and wait for them to be able to clone my body and then put my head on it, right? I don't know. Be like... what was that science fiction movie? Was it Dune, where the guy was floating around? It was just a floating head with metal devices, and it could speak. It's just a head. Does that mean that the head had the vocal cords? Because the vocal cords are low in the neck. And if it doesn't really have a neck, I don't know, the whole thing is just so other than. It's so out there. I think that's really, that's it. It's just so out there. Okay, so that was my good laugh for the day. The other thing that they were showing, because I ended up streaming stuff, and I was watching this thing about photos of the sun, and that was really cool, because they were, you know, showing how the sun's energy is absorbed back into the sun. Now, everybody's seen all those things where they have, what is it called, when there's an explosion on the sun, and it creates... what is that called? It looks like a big U, where the explosion comes out and then it gets sucked back in and then it gets pulled back in. Now, I'm not talking about solar flares, you know, where they end up coming towards the Earth and then we have those beautiful auroras, you know, because that's all by the sun. That's just energy from the sun, solar flares, and, you know, the days they say high ozone and, you know, make sure you're protected, or you stay indoors, or you have sunscreen or sunblock and blah, blah, blah. Well, this is similar, but these solar flares are more, it was just pictures by one of those telescopes that's out there. I can't think of the name of it because I don't remember. I was watching, I think it was late at night. I don't know. I had one of those crazy nights. Like the last week, I've been going to bed later and later and later. And even though there's been a handful of mornings that I have gotten up and meditated anyway, I have to tell you that this morning I did not get up and meditate. And I have to say that when I actually... So I had a very busy weekend. All right, let's back it up a little bit. I had a very busy last 2 weeks, and I had a very busy weekend. And so I never got the chance to change the sheets on my bed. And my niece stayed with me Saturday, and I would have changed the sheets on... No, she stayed with me Friday, and I would have changed the sheets on Sunday, but she left early Saturday, and then I was busy all day Saturday. And then I was busy all day Sunday, and then I was busy all day Monday and Tuesday. And then so this morning when I woke up, it was like it's more than a week. It's like a week and 2 days, a week and 3 days that I hadn't changed sheets. So I'm laying in bed, and I'm like, I really need to change sheets. In my head, I'm just thinking about, okay, got to do this, got to do that. Now, I've been cleaning like crazy for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days because my mom came over, and she hadn't seen my apartment in a while. I got some new furniture. I put some stuff together. You know, I just changed it around. I had my taxes all over the place. So I've been just cleaning and cleaning from, like, the inside out, not just, you know, mopping and vacuuming. I was going through all of my paperwork. So I just let the bedroom slide. I made the bed. Everything was clean in there. Everything's vacuumed. Everything's dusted. But I just didn't. All right. So this morning when I got up and I finally just threw the blankets all off and let the bed air, and I showered and I did everything else I needed to do, and then went back in there, and in my mind I'm thinking, oh, it's Monday morning, and I'm like, oh, the week is just beginning, and okay, so I'm a day off with the sheet change thing. And then all of a sudden I realized, it dawned on me, I'm like, oh my God, it's Wednesday, it's the middle of the week, I'm way behind. And so I thought that was really funny. And you know, so there you have it. So it's Wednesday. I'm doing my show, and I just changed the bedding. This throws everything off. So anyway, one short week, and then whatever. Back to normal Sunday. So one of the things that's been going on with me, I guess I could say, is that I've had a little bit of a block, because with the whole thing with my studio up in the air, and they're selling the building, and I just haven't been able to paint the big paintings that I was working on that particular series. And I think that series has already changed, because I have like the next, I don't know, 8 or 10 drawings that are going to be in that series, but I have not put them into practice. So I haven't done anything with them. I've just drawn them out. And so I've been a little, you know, feeling stuck or frustrated, I guess I could say. And frustrated is probably not the right word, but stuck, blocked, or, you know, having one of those little moments of, I don't know, artistic impasse. And here's the funny thing. So I'm talking to this guy. I went to this event last week, and it wasn't really an event. It was a party at a friend's house, and they had a little meeting. And I'm not a Harlem person, so I'm not up there. But this is like that group of people up there, and they're all, they know each other, and I know them all. But anyway, so they're trying to figure out what to do art-wise in that area. And I'm just sort of like a bystander, a part, you know, an impartial intaker, I guess. So I actually left early, but I was there enough to listen to some of it. And, you know, okay, some of it gelled with me, and some of it really just did not, which is totally fine. And one of the guys I was talking to was saying, you know, we were talking about creating and creativity and where you go and what happens. And I said, well, I'm kind of like stuck. I'm in a blocked point right now. And he said, well, that's the best place to be. And I'm thinking, like, no, it's not. I'm like, it definitely puts you in a place where you are sort of like, I don't know, hydroplaning, or you're just sort of you're like in limbo. It's not a good place to be. And he's like, oh, it's great because then you can work it all out. And I'm thinking, no, I like it when I'm like in the thick of things and everything's just coming and I'm just working it out. You know, it's like I have so many things that I still have to do that to say I'm actually blocked is an inaccurate assessment of where I am, because the truth is that I'm not so much blocked as what to paint. It's more of a fear of getting started into, this is so crazy because it's been going for like a year now, a fear of getting started and having all this wet paintings and not knowing what to do with them and then having to move. And so I've been like in a stuck holding pattern, worried about that stupidity. So I had a painting. Now, this is all about my passion. And I know I can get extremely impassioned about things and I can be really passionate about things. So I have an ex from years ago, and I guess my legacy a long time ago was I would leave people in great apartments because nobody ever leaves. Nobody ever leaves. I'm the one that always ends up leaving. Okay, so I'm talking very specifically about myself. I'm not talking about anybody else. So I had this apartment in Bayside, and I was living with this guy, and actually, technically, I was living there, and he just moved in one day. I came home from work, and boom, there he was, and I was like, are you kidding? Well, that lasted for about a year, and then I finally couldn't, it just wasn't for me, it wasn't right, it wasn't, the whole thing was just, I have to tell you, that's quite a crazy story, and I'm going to leave it right there, because if I ever do write another book, a real book, a personal book, not an art book, let me tell you, that'll all be in there. Spill the beans big time. So I decided that I was going to leave. So I'm moving out. And I had this really large painting over the couch. And I told him, listen, you can buy all the furniture from me. You can have everything that's in there. You can have this gorgeous apartment. It was on the second floor. You walk up. It had a great stairway. So it had a nice entranceway. I had a studio in there. It was a one-bedroom. It was a really nice apartment. And it was in the gardens in Bay Terrace or Bayside. I don't know. I guess it was on the border. Actually, near Douglaston. So anyway, it was a great apartment. So I leave the apartment, and I told him, you can buy this. So he paid off everything little by little. Little did I know that he wasn't paying the rent. And so when that kind of hit me, I was really pissed. I guess very small explanation there, not good situation there, but all rectified and all paid off by him, not me. But my name was still on that lease in the beginning. So anyway, so long story end, flash forward a while. He's living in another apartment. He's since had given up that apartment and moved a couple of times. And I was living somewhere else, and I was staying where I was. I wasn't moving again. And my life had changed dramatically. So this is all pre-9/11. And we're not talking a lot of years before, you know, the late 90s. So I move into another apartment. He moves out of that apartment. Everything is all settled and good. And we're sort of kind of seeing each other. It was kind of, you know, at a distance, you know, be a hit and run kind of thing. Let's just leave it that way. So one day he calls me up and he says, listen, that painting that I bought from you has a tear in it, and I know that you do restoration. Can you come and fix it? And I'm not happy about hearing this, and I'm thinking, all right, sure, I'll come and fix it. So I get to his apartment, and it's dark, and it was kind of like a basement back apartment. Not nice. I have to tell you, the stupidest thing that he did was getting rid of the apartment I left him in, because he was paying probably the same or more rent, and it wasn't like a real, I don't know, you couldn't pay me enough to live in someone else's basement. I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes. Anyway, so back to the story. So I look at the painting, and I'm running my hand over it. And because it's, you know, poorly lit, I couldn't tell. But I could see the one little, you know, L-shaped rip in it. And as I'm running my hand over it, I'm feeling all these odd little holes. Well, I have to tell you, I kind of lose my mind. And I'm like, what did you do? Get drunk one day and shoot it with a BB gun? And he's telling me that when it was at his brother's house that the kids took pencils and popped holes in it. I'm like, no way. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. And I knew the guy pretty well. And anyway, I lose my shit. And I stick my fingers into the hole and I tear the painting. I shred the painting. I tear it in like 5 or 6 places. And I throw it down off the wall and I tell him, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. And, you know, he had driven me, so I didn't have a car. So I'm like, take me home and then leave me alone forever. I'm done. So he drives me home. I don't speak the whole drive home. Drops me off. I go upstairs, and I'm pissed. I'm pissed. Well, I go to work the next day. I come home, and my painting is in a heap in the hallway in front of my door. Well, of course, you know, my rage could definitely inspire others, but when I get enraged or I get passionate about something, you know it. So I take the painting and I crumple it up and I take it to a friend's house, and there I dump it. And I've left it there for years and years and years. All right, so now if we're talking, I have to say, I think this was, had to be after 9/11 by now. I think I left him in that apartment. It was probably 96 or 97. And when he asked me to fix the painting, it was probably 2003, I think, something like that. Somewhere in there. It was before one of these other relationships that I'd been in, like my longest relationship with, well, anyway. So I take the painting and I leave it a good 10 years in my friend's basement. Now, his mother passed away and he since has finally become an adult. Didn't I say that very loosely? Old man. And he's got his own apartment, and they still have the house. They haven't sold the house, but they're slowly cleaning out the house. Now, this is the house he grew up in, and he's in his late 60s. So they're cleaning out and selling the house. They're trying to sell the house. So he finally got an apartment, and he moved recently in the winter, this winter. First time ever being on his own, ever, okay? Don't even go there. So I finally take the painting out of his house. So it's been years, okay, years. So I put the painting in my studio a couple of days ago. And since I'm having this little, I don't know what to do because I don't know where to go, and until I feel really comfortable, that's the way it goes. That's all it's about. It's all about my comfort zone and my comfort. So here I am. I pulled the painting apart, and I'm looking at it, and I had a studio visit from somebody who happens to do, she's a seamstress, and even though she teaches, the artwork that she does is all sewn. So we start talking about it. Now, I have to tell you, I found all these needles. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to repair it, I'm going to do something, maybe I'll just glue it to something. Well, after talking to her, and she's like, totally can sew it. So I'm in the studio on Monday. Saturday. I'm in the studio on Saturday. And I end up tacking it up to the wall, and I'm looking at it. And, you know, it's in really sad shape. But I started to stitch it. I did one little corner. And I'm thinking I'm going to sew the whole damn thing back together. I don't know if I'll repaint it. I don't know if I'll put it on another piece of canvas, you know, and stitch it to that and really repaint it. But Frankenstein's little monster is going to be rebuilt. And as I'm looking at this painting, I'm thinking, you know, I never really finished that series. I sort of kind of left it in the middle. So I've done a total of five or six paintings in that series, lots and lots of watercolors, lots of drawings. But I kind of just left it off. And that series actually started in college. I was taking a nap in the middle of the day because I used to go out every single night and come home with the crack of dawn, come home with the light. Actually, I sort of kind of don't do that anymore, but up until about 3 years ago, and every now and then, I was still doing that. And I like coming home with the sun. I like getting home at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning when the sun's just coming up and taking a shower and going to bed for 3 or 4 hours and then getting up and starting my day again. Because I used to live my days, my whole week would be like 36-4, you know, instead of 24-7. So I used to work for like 17, 18 hours straight and then, you know, sleep for 4 to 6 hours and then run and do my day again. I have to tell you, it would be really good to get back into that stream and be there. In fact, I remember that I used to always spend a whole week awake, and it would be like right around my birthday or right after, right before, and then I would just go straight through for a week. It was always good because my birthday's you know, Memorial Day and Fleet Week, and just so much stuff going on everywhere. So it was always a good, exciting time. So I think that I have to pick up my spirits. Who's going to do that for you? Well, I'll volunteer. I volunteer for you. I'll do that. I think I'm going to do that. I think it's time. Yeah, I think that's time. Anyway. Listen, I love getting up and thinking it was Monday because I stripped my bed and thinking I'm only a day off. So it's kind of funny. The whole week is all different now. It's like turned on its ear. Kind of bizarre. So this piece of artwork is now on my wall. I moved everything in my studio just to get it up there and look at it. And I've been looking at it. All I'm thinking is like, I have to go into the archives. Because I used to, well, I still do. I write a lot. But I used to really keep track of everything, all of my thoughts, all my ideas. And I have enough ideas. 90 seconds. I have enough ideas and series of works to do without having to even think of anything new. I could just go back and say, this one I never did, this one I never did, this one I never did. Anyway, I'm the David Hammond of Lisa Zilker. I'm the Lisa Zilker of David Hammond. I don't know. I want to be there. That's what I want to do. I want to be 60 seconds. Damn, she's getting quick. So that's my thought. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to do. That's where I want to go. I'm going to go right there. That's what I'm going to do. So being stuck home because I was trying to buy ink for my stupid printer, and my computer is just taking too damn slow, too damn long, too slow, too long, and. So there you have it. So now I'm going to hang up this phone. I'm going to run to my studio. I'm going to be there all day. And I think I know what I'm going to do, which makes me very happy. Yeah, I think maybe I just need to talk it out. Who do you need to talk to? I need to talk to you. Why? Because I listen all the time. See how that goes? Yeah, well, sometimes you don't always pay attention. Well, I'm really sorry about that. I am back. There you go. So anyway. That was not the best conversation. I've had better ones with you. Well, we'll get there. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. And I have to tell you, helping me flush it out in the flesh was really good. I'm looking at all my plants and they're really in full bloom, and I have to take my ginger and cut it down, clean it up, turn it around, and repot all the little pieces that I've got growing in my kitchen, and I have a lot. So plants are happy. I'm feeling actually really good. I have fresh sheets on my bed. Yay. Very happy. Anyway, have a beautiful day. Enjoy the warm weather. God knows how long it will last. And this is Lisa of the Lisa Show signing off.